I'm going to tell you something a little embarrassing. It's definitely not how I would introduce myself at a party or how I would start a conversation in general, but it's something that's helped me figure out who I am. It's about one of the first times I searched for porn on the internet. I was in middle school, the computer was in the living room, and all my family was sleeping. And I remember using Yahoo or something. I mean, this is in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I searched hairy gay men. The weird thing is that it wasn't the photos of real men that caught my eye, but a black and white drawing of a burly, thick, hairy dude dressed all in leather. And I went down this rabbit hole and found more drawings in the same style. They were created by this guy who went by the name Tom of Finland. Each man was drawn with well-defined, bulging muscles, scruffy facial hair. They're all smoking cigars.
They're all very tall. They're very muscular. They have very tight jeans with large bulges in their crotches. Shirts that are half opened halfway down the chest.
Little did 13-year-old me know that people actually studied Tom of Finland's work at places like Harvard. People like Professor Michael Bronsky, who says, I'm not the only one obsessed with these drawings.
Well, I think the Tom of Finland imagery, they really became the sort of gold standard of hypermasculinity in terms of representation. And because there was so little else around, unless you looked at, you know, pictures of Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett or things like that, right? That he really became the main artist who was looked to within the gay male community for producing these images of what the masculine fantasy man might look like.
Touko Laaksonen is the man responsible for getting dudes off with just a stroke of a pencil. The one who helped popularize an entire look in the gay community. He's the man behind Tom of Finland. Touko began drawing erotic pictures of older men when he was in his early teens. But it wasn't until he served in World War II that he developed his signature style. Chiseled chins, broad shoulders, dominating in stature. And after the war, in the late 40s and early 50s, Touko took a fondness to the way blue-collared men dressed in Finland, the fishermen and the farmers who wore leather boots and rugged attire. And as Tom of Finland was discovering leather, there was something else emerging in the queer community.
Everybody's come back from the war. Everybody is reacclimating to American culture. Everybody is trying to figure out gender roles in a new way. So the emergence of a leather community at that point was much more about the image of people who wanted not to fit in to American society. And I think a lot of the sort of Tom of Finland look and the dressing up was actually being able to identify other people who might be like you. But lesbians and gay men are always caught in this sort of trap where they needed to be invisible in order not to be harassed, but they needed to be visible enough to other homosexuals to find community.
Yeah. What were the characteristics of the leather community back in the 50s and 60s?
Well, I think that it was simply men sort of defining themselves both by what, in two ways, right? By what they may like sexually, which might be some sort of rougher than not S&M play, but also how they looked, right? If you're in a leather jacket, tight jeans, on a motorcycle with a ripped flannel shirt, you actually didn't look like the stereotypical homosexual, which was more from the older notion of a pansy or a fairy. But also, I think that although people always had pictures of people with like motorcycles, my understanding is that very few people actually rode motorcycles. They were more of an emblem.
But times have changed.
What are we recording for?
Podcast.
All right. You guys out there, you're missing it. If you're not here, we're having a good fucking time. Sexy contestants on your bikes.
Woo!
I'm James Kim, and this is The Competition.
Leather comes from the heart. That's what I believe. It's not matter of how you dress or what you look like.
This is a place where we can have a community, but also have a family.
Leather means brotherhood. It means sexiness. It means community. It means have fun.
This season, we'll be covering Mr. Los Angeles Leather. And if you're not familiar with it, well, you're definitely not alone in that.
Hey.
Hey, Alyssa. So Alyssa Dudley is co-hosting this season with me.
Yeah, and I have to tell you before we get started, when James told me the concept for this season, I really had no idea what I was in for. I think like most people like kind of had an idea of what Leather meant, but as a competition, like none at all.
Yeah. And you know, before we started recording and everything, we went to an event in Long Beach for their opening day event, and Alyssa definitely stood out from the crowd, to put it politely.
We walked in and I looked around and was like, oh, I am a sore thumb here. I mean, not only was I one of the few, if not the only woman in the room.
Yeah, that's true.
I was not in leather.
No, and everyone else was dressed in like head to toe, from their caps to their boots, all in leather. And Alyssa was wearing a denim jacket and a white t-shirt or something like it.
Yeah, maybe if I'd been wearing leather, I would have, you know, blended in a little more. But being a newbie, I decided to go around with my microphone and ask people to tell me what Mr. Los Angeles Leather actually entails. And I ran into this guy.
Okay. Well, my name, are we on?
Yeah, we're on.
Don Mike. He's been in the LA leather community for 18 years.
You know, I always say this. Some people get a little offended, but I think it rings true. I say it's like the Miss America pageant for gay men in leather. It's a lot more in-depth than a beauty contest, but structure-wise, you're going to see the guys get on stage in their best outfits, answer questions, give speeches. So structure-wise, it's a lot like Miss America, only I think we have a lot more fun.
I kind of like that analogy.
Yeah, I feel like he was giving me the really honest explanation of this that's maybe not so politically correct that no one else would say.
Yeah.
But it seemed to be the most spot on.
Yeah.
Like an R-rated version of a beauty pageant.
Yeah, with a lot more leather daddies.
Speaking of leather daddies, you want to introduce the contestants?
Yeah, let's do that. So this year there's 11 competitors. And before they got on the stage for the competition, they had to win a local leather title at either their home bar or club or at an organization that they represent.
All right, let's get into it.
First off, we have Greg. And he looks like he's straight out of a Tom of Finland drawing.
I'm wearing a bulldog harness and my vest, leather pants and my boots. All sexy.
Yeah, and no t-shirt.
No at all, with my furry chest.
Then there's Jose, who's a veteran.
I grew up really poor, Mexican family. I was the first generation here. And for somebody like myself that was really like taught not to be sexually active, be Mexican, go to work. For me to actually come out and just be myself, I think I would serve as a good role model. I've never seen anybody of my descent actually win.
Next up is Marpa. And in his online profile, he says that in his spare time, he enjoys, quote, bondage, cocksucking, fashion, and volunteerism.
And there's Ben. In his profile, he says when he's not working in TV production, he can often be found making out with as many people as possible. And he also says that most problems in the world can be solved either with love or sausage gravy.
There's also Spike, who says he can kick your ass and do your makeup.
Being accepted in the leather community, it's very butch, it's very masculine. I wear heels, I wear makeup, you know, I have piercings, I have tattoos, I wear nail polish. So I've always meant to stand out, and you know, if there's anything you can learn, it's just be yourself 100% all the time, and if they don't like you, that's none of your damn business anyway.
Contestant number 6 is Luis.
You know, as a Latino and as a man of color, we're not represented out there all the time. And, you know, for me to take the Los Angeles leather title would just mean the world to me.
The next contestant is Dwayne. He's a retired Air Force veteran, and he says that he's not just into leather fetishes and kinks, but he's also passionate about fighting HIV and AIDS stigmas.
And then there's Adam, whose profile says that he enjoys BDSM and is a fisting top. And he believes in educating others on the safe, sane, and consensual ways to play.
And our ninth contestant is Taz. He graduated from UC Riverside with a bachelor's degree in psychology, and he was heavily involved with the campus LGBT community.
And then there's Sean, who's a microbiologist.
I work for the health department in Los Angeles. I do testing for infectious diseases, so anything from syphilis and gonorrhea to SARS and other infectious diseases, yeah. We had a very busy flu season this year.
And last but not least is Yoshi, the one Asian contestant.
It would certainly be a great honor to win Mr. LA Leather. The opportunity to stand up on stage as a person of color, as an Asian man, to be someone who you don't really see very often in the community and to be able to stand on that stage, to me, that's already the victory right there.
And those are the 11 contestants competing for the title of Mr. Los Angeles Leather 2018.
But only one can win.
Yes. Now, there's a wide range of people represented in this batch, but in previous years, the competitors were mainly really butch white men. It's basically a collection of walking Tom of Finland drawings.
Yeah. If you look at the photos from the past year, that sounds very accurate. But this year, it's actually a lot more diverse than it has been in previous years. They're making a very conscious effort to include people who aren't just super buff white dudes.
Right. The leather community is continually evolving. And we were asking around and realized there's really no one definition of leather.
That's actually a really huge question. And we have regular debates about that throughout the community.
Gus Norris is the chairman of the Los Angeles Leather Coalition, and he's been a part of the leather community since 2009.
My story was, you know, I was happily married with two children and came to the realization that I wasn't living my authentic self. So I came out to my wife, flipped my life upside down, and left the house and went straight to a leather bar.
Wow.
Fortunately, it has all worked out very well, and my ex-wife is very supportive. And I discovered leather by going to my local bar, Pistons, and I really just fell in love with the vibe. These are divey places. These are people that are immediately accepting of everybody, and you just immediately feel comfortable and part of a close-knit group.
I've noticed, especially talking with a lot of contestants and the judges, that there is like a strong relationship to sex with the culture, and I'm wondering where that comes from.
It entirely revolves around sex. You know, leather is at its core about fetish. It's about exploring your sexuality and all of the interesting things that you can do between two people or more, if you wish.
And I know I said that there aren't very many women in the leather community, but if you look for them, you can definitely find them.
I'm a dirty, dirty, dirty girl. Everyone knows I'm a dirty girl if they get to talk to me personally, privately. You should ask me about that. Well, don't ask me here. But
I do want to ask, though, why do you call yourself a dirty girl?
Oh, I want to piss on people. I'm hella into cum dumps. I may want to be a cum dump. I'm signing up my pup to be a cum dump. I'm definitely into fisting and body fluids and squirting and jizz just not in me or on me. And, you know, yeah. If it's not mainstream sex, sign me up for it.
Shit.
James, so uncomfortable.
Yeah, so that's Girl Complex. She holds the title for International Miss Leather 2017, and she's one of the judges for this year's competition. Girl Complex discovered the leather community in the same way that I did, by stumbling upon artwork by Tom of Finland.
So how would you define the leather community?
how would I define the leather community? For me, I'll start where I thought it was when I was a little younger. For me, it looks like this whole image of dirty, seedy, nasty, cum-filled bars and glory holes. And even though I do not have a penis, I still wanted to be part of this. I wanted to be in the bars where guys were sucking the other dudes in the corner.
Wait, why?
I don't know. I like dirty, gritty sex. I like being around it. I like being the only girl in the middle of it. But don't get any of it on me. I'm still fertile. Like, Jesus Christ. I gotta go home and explain this baby to my husband. No, like, I don't know where it came from.
And what is it now?
It's getting away from that a little bit because we're a little, the younger generation's coming in and they're kind of not about that, but they are about that if you come here. But it looks like it's, for me, I feel, I guess, because I'm in this time, it looks like there's people trying to be more inclusive because I wasn't allowed to go out back then when I found the community because I was a woman. Now it looks like they allow us to come in a little bit and mingle with us because we don't want to take over. We just want to hang out and share space. Like, we don't want to interrupt. And also tell the guys, I'm way more useful in the back room. I have 3 open holes.
You did say that you had a husband?
I do. I am married. I'm married to Trey. His name is Trey Onyx, or Danso Onyx. He is the new vice president of the Onyx chapter Northwest.
Oh, so he's a part of the community too?
He got in a little bit because his wife was like, Daddy, I need you to choke me and beat me. So you got to figure out how to do it.
So one thing about leather, it's very, very expensive to be a part of this community. Do you think that that kind of limits people in terms of being a part of this community?
I think it does sometimes, only if that's what they think leather is. Because sometimes leather isn't about clothing. I can still be a leather woman without any leather. Because when I go to work, when I'm not wearing any leather, I'm still a leather woman. And I think people don't understand that because people don't let them in the bar and they judge them because they don't have everything. But I want every leather person to think about when they first found a leather bar, they didn't have everything. They had like a jacket, a vest, maybe some boots or a belt. They didn't have everything because they didn't know anything. And so I want them to be a little more open to that. And also certain communities, what you think is appropriate and fancy leather is inappropriate and hot for other communities. For example, like I mentioned earlier, I wear like yellow Timberland boots. And the black community, the hip hop community, that's top notch, you know. They're not $400 West Coast, but they're still $200 Timberland boots. So they're still, you know, top notch depending on the communities. And that doesn't make me less of a leather person because I'm wearing this. I'm still leather regardless of the gear and what I have.
One big takeaway for me after talking with all of these people on our first day at a leather event was there are so many strong opinions and everyone has a different idea about what makes a leather man or a leather woman for that matter, which is still a pretty new concept in itself.
Yeah. And when we're talking to Gus Norris, he definitely acknowledged that.
It's about identity. Everyone wants to project themselves, especially onto a title holder, and a title holder of such reach as Mr. Los Angeles. It's one of the better known titles in the world. But if we don't see what we want to see, we are faced with what we don't like about ourselves.
Yeah. Because it's a small community, there's a lack of representation out there. So it's like almost there's this added pressure of whoever wins needs to be the perfect ideal for everybody.
That's very true. There's a lot of misconceptions going back decades about, oh, these people must have some mental illness. They're freaks. They're weird. And a lot of what we're doing is expressing ourselves and showing our pride so that we can show individuals out there that they're not alone in this, that this is not weird. We're not freaks.
So there's a lot at stake for whoever wins the title of Mr. Los Angeles Leather.
But before these contestants handle the pressure of representing the whole leather community of Los Angeles anyways, they have to worry about winning first.
Yeah, and these contestants have exactly 1 week from this kickoff party to finish preparing both mentally and physically for the main competition.
It takes place over the course of one very long day, and there are 4 different rounds. The first round is a private interview with the panel of judges, and they can ask the contestants, anything they want.
Yeah.
Nothing is too personal. They can ask them, like, why they're running for the title, normal politics questions, or what they're going to do for the leather community if they win. But they might also be asked questions about their kinks.
Yeah, and very, very personal questions about why you like to be fisted or you like to be fisting somebody.
Yeah, it's not Miss America.
No. The second round is the formal wear look, and it takes place on stage with a live audience, and all the contestants are dressed like head to toe in leather. So they get up on stage and they have to give this 90-second speech, and that speech can be about anything, whatever they want.
It's kind of like their platform.
Yeah, exactly. Or you can be and make it into a joke and just tell a 90-second joke if you wanted to.
Yeah. The third round is where the contestants show off their bar look, essentially what you would wear if you were trying to impress someone at a bar. Then, while they're in front of the audience, they'll be asked a serious question about how they will represent the leather community.
Yeah. And the fourth and last round is the swimwear look. And this is basically where the contestants strip down to as little as possible or whatever they feel comfortable with. And while they're in very revealing attire, they'll be asked a more lighthearted question. It's a kind of a joke and to show off their sense of humor about the leather community.
And this judging process is super stressful for the contestants. Some of them aren't that used to being on stage, but I think based on some of the conversations I've had already, the most nerve-wracking part is round one, the interview where there's no audience, it's just you and the judges, and things get kind of raw.
Yeah, because it takes place in a basement where there's just a spotlight on you and everything else is dark.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But the judges say that the way the audience reacts to the contestants in the rest of the rounds is also super important.
It's huge. It really is. Because you're looking for somebody who's going to be engaging with the public, right? If you're judging for a particular bar, you want a title holder that's going to bring people into that bar and keep them there, right? So they can have better business. If you're looking for someone to represent a club, they want new members. So to see someone interacting with a crowd on stage and sharing that energy is really, really important.
So we're at the opening event in Long Beach, and while all the contestants are being introduced on stage, I went and grabbed another judge for this year's competition, Lady Scarlett Sin. She's the title holder for Miss Los Angeles Leather 2017, and she told me that she's already taking mental notes.
You are an ambassador to the community, so obviously we want to see how you interact in social spaces. Are you warm? Are you welcoming? Do you embrace people coming in? Do you tell them about leather? Do you welcome them? Do you introduce them to others in the community? So the judging has already begun.
This season on The Competition.
You can prepare all you want, but once you're on stage and you have everybody looking at you and you have a mic in front of you, it's completely different.
For a while, I just said, oh, it's going to be Dwayne. Dwayne's going to win. And he has body for days. But because I've seen so much of all of the other contestants, every one of us has something that nobody else has.
This year actually is full of a lot of firsts. Anybody that wins is going to be making history.
All joking aside, there is a bit of that, you know, Joy Luck Club hopes and dreams thing, like, oh my God, all our hopes and dreams are in you.
I want it really, really bad. I want to make a difference, and I think it's time.
And your new Mr. Los Angeles Leather 2018 is...
Competition is hosted by me, James Kim.
And me, Elissa Dudley.
Our editor is Cameron Kell.
Who also wrote our music, along with James Kim here, and Ryo Bong.
And our theme song was written by Andrew Eben.
You can find The Competition on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Until next time.